Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're taking you somewhere you might not think about often.
Yeah.
The bottom of a glacier.
Oh, wow.
Specifically, Thwaites Glacier in West Antarctica.
Okay.
It's a giant glacier that could raise sea levels by over half a meter if it all melted.
Half a meter?
Yeah, over half a meter.
Wow.
And a recent study in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences found some pretty surprising things about why this glacier is melting so fast.
Hmm.
And trust me, it's not just about warmer air temperatures.
Really? So what is it about? I mean, besides the air,
right, yeah.
What else is there?
Well, it's the seawater sneaking in under the glacier.
Under.
Yeah, under the glacier. Think of it kind of like an icy tidal wave.
An icy tidal wave.
Yeah, but one that's happening out of sight deep beneath the ice.
Oh, wow. That sounds dramatic.
Yeah, it is pretty dramatic. Before we get into the details,
okay.
Can you remind us why we should care about a glacier melting way down in Antarctica?
Well, sea level rise is the big one.
Right.
Thwaites holds enough ice to significantly raise sea levels worldwide.
So this isn't just an Antarctic problem?
No, not at all.
Got it.
It would impact coastal communities everywhere.
So how does that happen? How does a glacier melting in Antarctica raise sea levels all the way over here?
Well, when glaciers melt, the water flows into the ocean, adding to the total volume of water.
Okay.
And since Thwaites is so massive, its melting would have a significant impact on global sea levels.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, the study mentions this thing called the grounding line.
Right.
Which sounds kind of technical.
Yeah.
Can you break that down for us?
Sure. It's actually a pretty simple concept.
Okay.
The grounding line is the point where the glacier goes from sitting on land to floating on the ocean.
Okay.
Imagine a giant ice cube in a glass of water.
Okay.
The grounding line is where the ice meets the water.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So why is this line so important?
Because a glacier needs to be grounded or anchored to the bedrock to stay stable. If seawater gets underneath and lifts it up, it becomes like that ice cube in your glass. It starts to melt faster.
Oh, okay.
And can break apart.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So how did the scientists actually study this grounding line? It seems like a pretty tough place to get to.
Yeah.
It is.
How'd they get there?
Well, they used some incredible technology, actually.
What did they use?
Daily satellite radar images from the icy white constellation.
Wow. So they didn't even have to go there?
No, they didn't, which is amazing.
So how does that work? How can they see the grounding line from space?
So this radar sends out pulses of radio waves and measures how they bounce back from the ice, allowing them to see tiny changes in the glacier surface.
Oh, wow.
Including the movement of the grounding line.
So they're basically watching the glacier move almost in real time.
Basically, yes.
That's incredible.
It is.
What did they find?
They discovered something called an ice grounding zone.
An ice grounding zone?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
It's much wider than they expected.
Stretching kilometers inland.
Kilometers?
Yes, kilometers.
Wow, that's huge.
And here's the real kicker. Seawater is actually rushing in and out of this zone with the tides.
Whoa, so that's what you meant by the icy tidal wave.
Exactly.
Did they know this was happening before?
Not to this extent, no.
Oh, really?
We knew some seawater reached into the glacier, but we thought it was a fairly small, stable area.
Oh, I see.
This study shows it's much more dynamic and widespread.
Okay, so seawater is getting under the glacier.
Yeah.
And we know that warmer water melts ice faster.
Right.
But how much faster are we talking here? The study mentioned some pretty specific numbers, right?
Yes, they did.
That were they?
They estimated a potential melt rate of 65 meters per year.
65 meters a year.
Within the ice grounding zone.
That's incredible.
Which is incredibly fast.
Wow, so that means this isn't just like a slow drip.
No.
It's more like a fire hose pointed at the base of the glacier.
That's a great analogy.
65 meters.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And it's all because of the warmer water.
Yeah, the seawater they observe is called circumpolar deep water.
Okay.
And it's much warmer than the freezing point of the ice.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's why it's melting so fast.
Exactly.
So where's all this water coming from?
Well, the study found that these seawater intrusions are happening in very specific locations.
Okay.
Between subglacial channels, which are like rivers flowing beneath the ice.
Oh, like rivers under the ice.
Yes, exactly.
I'm guessing these channels have something to do with the pressure of the water under the glacier?
You got it.
Okay.
The water pressure in these channels is very high.
Right.
And the study found that this high pressure makes it easier for the seawater to lift up the glacier.
To lift it up.
Yeah. It's a process called hydraulic jacking.
Hydraulic jacking. What's that?
It's kind of like using a lever to pry up something heavy.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So we've got this combination of warmer water and high pressure working together to melt the glacier from below.
Right.
And it's happening much faster and on a much larger scale than we realize.
Exactly.
It's pretty concerning.
It is, yeah.
And there's another factor that can make things even worse, right?
Yeah.
The shape of the bedrock beneath the glacier.
Right.
You mentioned earlier that Thwaites is retreating along a stabilizing slope.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing these seawater intrusions might be changing that?
That's right, yeah.
How so?
Well, the stabilizing slope means that as the glacier retreats,
right,
it should theoretically be slowing down.
Okay.
Because it's moving onto shallower ground.
Kind of like a natural braking system.
Exactly, like a natural brake.
But you're saying the seawater intrusions are messing with this braking system.
Yeah. Imagine trying to stop a car on a slippery road.
Okay.
It's much harder to slow down. And
right.
That's essentially what's happening with Thwaites.
So even though it's on a slope that should be slowing it down, the seawater is acting like a lubricant, letting it slip faster.
Exactly.
You also mentioned these ridges, Mujina Ridge and South Ridge.
Right.
What role do they play in all of this?
Think of them as speed bumps on a downward slope.
Okay.
Right now, the glacier is retreating along that stabilizing slope.
Right.
But once it passes Mujina Ridge, the bedrock slips downward again.
Hmm.
And the retreat could speed up dramatically.
So those ridges are critical points.
Yes, they are.
Once the glacier passes them, it's like taking your foot off the brake and hitting the gas pedal.
Exactly.
And I remember you said that could happen sooner rather than later.
Yes. The study suggests that the glacier could reach Mujina Ridge within the next few years.
Oh, wow.
And once it passes that point, it's just a matter of time before it reaches South Ridge and then enters a much deeper basin.
Okay, that sounds pretty dire.
It is, yeah.
Before we move on to what this means for the future, I think it's important to take a step back and really let all of that sink in for our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking about a massive amount of ice that's melting at an alarming rate due to these seawater intrusions.
Right.
And it's happening in a way that we didn't fully understand before.
Exactly. That's one of the most concerning things about this.
This study is a real wake-up call.
It is.
And it highlights how much we still have to learn about the complex interactions between the ocean and these giant ice sheets.
Absolutely.
We'll get into the big picture implications for sea level rise and what this all means for the future in part two.
Okay.
But first, we need to take a short break.
That's good.
Stay with us.
Yeah. These findings about Thwaites are definitely concerning.
What we're seeing here is a glacier that's becoming increasingly unstable because of these seawater intrusions.
Right.
It really makes you wonder what the future holds for Thwaites and other glaciers like it.
It does.
You mentioned earlier that this has implications for global sea levels.
Uh-huh.
But can you paint a picture for us? What would happen if Thwaites melted completely?
Well, if Thwaites were to melt entirely, global sea levels would rise by over half a meter.
Half a meter?
Yeah, which might not sound like a lot, but consider what that means for coastal communities around the world.
What would it mean?
Well, we're talking increased flooding, erosion, and saltwater intrusion into freshwater sources.
Oh, wow.
Millions of people could be displaced from their homes.
That's a sobering thought.
It is.
It's easy to feel disconnected from something happening so far away.
Right.
But the reality is that what happens in Antarctica affects all of us.
Exactly. The melting of these glaciers has global consequences.
Right.
And it underscores the urgent need to address climate change.
You've mentioned the shape of the bedrock under the glacier as a factor in its stability.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that a bit more?
Sure. The bedrock under Thwaites isn't flat.
Okay.
Right now, the glacier is sitting on a slope that rises inland.
Okay.
As the glacier retreats, it's moving onto shallower ground, which should slow down the retreat.
So it's like a natural brake is being applied.
Right. Exactly.
But you're saying that the seawater intrusions are messing with this braking system.
Exactly. Imagine trying to stop a car on a slippery road.
Hmm.
It's much harder to slow down, and that's essentially what's happening with Thwaites.
So even though it's on a slope that should be slowing it down, the seawater is acting like a lubricant, letting it slip faster.
Right.
And you mentioned these ridges, Mujina Ridge and South Ridge.
Uh-huh.
What role do they play in all of this?
Think of them as speed bumps on a downward slope.
Okay.
Right now, the glacier is retreating along the stabilizing slope.
Okay.
But once it passes Mujina Ridge, the bedrock slopes downward again, and the retreat could speed up dramatically.
So those ridges are critical points.
Yeah.
Once the glacier passes them, it's like taking your foot off the brake and hitting the gas pedal.
That's a good way to put it.
And you said that could happen sooner rather than later.
Yes. The study suggests the glacier could reach Mugino Ridge within the next few years.
Wow, and once it passes that point?
Then it's just a matter of time before it reaches South Ridge and then enters a much deeper basin.
Okay, and why is that deeper basin so much more worrisome?
Because the deeper the basin, the more unstable the glacier becomes. It's like a domino effect. As the glacier retreats into deeper water, the ice front becomes taller, and that makes it more susceptible to melting and breaking apart.
Okay.
And the faster it breaks apart, the faster it retreats into even deeper water.
So it's a vicious cycle that could lead to a rapid collapse of the glacier.
Exactly.
I'm curious, what are scientists doing to try to understand and potentially mitigate these risks?
Well, one of the key things is improving our models.
Okay.
As this study shows, we're still learning about the complex processes that govern ice sheet dynamics.
Right.
We need to incorporate these new findings into our models to make more accurate predictions about future sea level rise.
So better models mean better predictions.
Exactly.
Which means we can plan more effectively.
Right.
What kinds of things are being done to adapt to the changes that are already happening?
Well, coastal communities are already implementing a variety of strategies.
Like what?
Some are building seawalls and other coastal defenses to protect against flooding.
Okay.
Others are restoring wetlands and other natural barriers that can help absorb storm surge.
That makes sense.
And some are even starting to plan for managed retreat, which involves moving people and infrastructure away from vulnerable areas.
It sounds like a multi-pronged approach is needed.
Yeah.
And it's going to require collaboration and innovation on a global scale.
Absolutely. This is a challenge that affects us all.
Right.
And it's going to take a collective effort to address it effectively.
Are there any international efforts underway to address this?
Yeah, there are international agreements and organizations dedicated to climate action.
Right.
Like the Paris Agreement and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Right.
Which are working to coordinate global efforts and share knowledge.
That's encouraging to hear.
It is.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the scale of this issue.
I know what you mean.
But it's important to remember that we're not alone in this fight.
Absolutely not.
There are brilliant minds working on solutions, and there are things we can all do to contribute to a more sustainable future.
Exactly. I completely agree.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive into Thwaites Glacier, I want to leave our listeners with a sense of hope and a call to action.
Okay.
We've explored the science, we've discussed the challenges, and we've touched on potential solutions.
Right.
Now it's time to take that knowledge and turn it into action.
I agree.
Whether it's making changes in our own lives,
uh-huh,
advocating for policy changes,
sure,
or supporting organizations that are working on solutions, every effort counts.
Absolutely. Every little bit helps.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been talking about Thwaites Glacier, you know, and the potential consequences of its rapid melt.
It's definitely a complex situation, and it's concerning, but this research, it isn't meant to instill fear. It's meant to empower us.
With knowledge.
Yeah, with knowledge so that we can make informed decisions.
I like that, knowledge as empowerment. So what can we do with this knowledge?
Right.
We've touched on individual actions, like reducing our carbon footprint and advocating for change. But what about the bigger picture?
Yeah.
What are researchers and policymakers doing to address this challenge on a global scale?
Well, there are a lot of efforts underway.
Okay.
Scientists are constantly working to improve our understanding of, you know, ice sheet dynamics.
Right.
And they're using that knowledge to develop more accurate models of future sea level rise.
Yeah.
These models are crucial for informing policy decisions and adaptation strategies.
So better models mean better predictions.
Exactly.
Which means we can plan more effectively.
Right.
What kinds of things are being done to adapt to the changes that are already happening?
Well, coastal communities are already implementing a variety of strategies.
Oh, really? Like what?
Some are building seawalls and other coastal defenses, you know, to protect against flooding.
Okay.
Others are restoring wetlands and other natural barriers that can help absorb storm surge.
That makes sense.
And some are even starting to plan for managed retreat.
What's that?
Which involves moving people and infrastructure away from vulnerable areas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like a multi-pronged approach is needed.
It is, yep.
And it's going to require collaboration and innovation on a global scale.
Absolutely. This is a challenge that affects us all.
Right.
And it's going to take a collective effort to address it effectively.
So are there any international agreements in place?
Yeah, there are international agreements and organizations dedicated to climate action.
Okay.
Like the Paris Agreement and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Right.
Which are working to coordinate global efforts and share knowledge.
That's encouraging to hear.
It is, yeah.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the scale of this issue.
I know what you mean.
But it's important to remember that we're not alone in this fight.
Yeah, we're all in this together.
There are brilliant minds working on solutions, and there are things we can all do to contribute to a more sustainable future.
Exactly. Every action, no matter how small, can make a difference.
Absolutely.
And sometimes even small changes can have a ripple effect and inspire others to take action.
Well said.
Thank you.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Thwaites Glacier,
okay,
I want to leave our listeners with a sense of hope and a call to action.
Sounds good.
We've explored the science. We've discussed the challenges.
Right.
And we've touched on potential solutions.
Yeah.
Now it's time to take that knowledge and turn it into action.
I agree.
Whether it's making changes in our own lives,
yeah,
advocating for policy changes, or supporting organizations that are working on solutions, every effort counts.
Absolutely.
If you're feeling inspired to learn more or get involved, we've included links to resources in our show notes. Thank you for joining us on this journey. And remember, even a small ripple can create a wave of change.